welcome to the Nittany Blues Podcast. By Penn State fans, for Penn State fans. Here are your hosts, Andrew and Vince.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Nittany Blues Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. Happy Thanksgiving week to all of you out there that are listening. Appreciate you sharing a little bit of your holiday with us here as we get ready to preview Penn State's final regular season game against Michigan State. So Penn State is 9-2 coming off of their victory over Rutgers. Had to do it with their backup quarterback as Drew Aller got hurt on a quarterback run. Bo Prabula came in. Ran the offense pretty efficiently on the ground. Did not really see any sort of passing from Bo, so that's still a question mark that we're going to discuss here. But Penn State is coming up against Michigan State, a team that has given them fits in the past. Michigan State this year, though, has a little bit of disarray with their coaching staff and the whole Mel Tucker situation. They had some of their star players transfer before the season began, so they're in a bit of a rebuilding period, a little bit of flux as far as their structure is concerned. So Penn State is going to look to finish the season strong. We're going to talk about what we think their chances are and what are some of the keys to the game. So without further ado, I got my wingman here, Vince. You know, I don't want to be too much like Gus and Joel from Fox, because you know how Gus is always like, I got my quarterback right here, Joel Klatt, and like gives him like the fist bump and stuff like that. I feel like I might be veering into that territory too much.
Oh, you're good, man. Hey, we got Porkchop back. Good to see him. And yeah, really, really happy that we got Thanksgiving coming up this week. What's going to be on your family spread for Thanksgiving?
So we're doing something actually completely different. So basically everybody who's coming to our family's Thanksgiving this year, they already did like a traditional Thanksgiving dinner somewhere else. So my family was like, why don't we do something different? So my family's doing surf and turf for Thanksgiving. So
Yeah, that sounds legit.
I mean, it's going to be good. I'm pumped for it, but you know, it's going to be weird not having like turkey and mashed potatoes and gravy and stuff like on actual Thanksgiving day. And instead I'm going to be eating steak and salmon.
That's hilarious. Like everyone's going to be talking about, hey man, how's your Thanksgiving? Did you eat lots of turkey? Be like, no, I had like steak and lobster.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Maybe one on the bird household. But what about you?
Yeah, so we're doing our Thanksgiving a day early. We're celebrating on Wednesday. My brother has something going on Thursday, so we're doing ours on Wednesday. So we'll have the usual turkey, mashed potatoes, corn gravy. We have like a sweet potato casserole, broccoli casserole. Probably have some pumpkin pie for dessert. Maybe even a green bean casserole. So just a lot of different things, and I will certainly not be going hungry on Wednesday, that's for sure.
That's the most important thing. Yeah, you got all the classics in there.
Yep, absolutely. And it kind of worked out better too, because like Penn State basketball has games Thursday on Thanksgiving, actually, which is unusual, but they have games Thursday, Friday, Sunday, and then it just makes it a little more even for me to like watch sports. Cause like typically if like the Birds play on Thanksgiving Day, I'm unable to like, you know, watch it, or I have to like record it on the DVR and then I go back over. But it'll be nice to, you know, have the big meal on Wednesday when I don't have any sports going on. And then like the rest of the weekend, I can just relax and watch all the sports.
Sweet. Yeah. That's the best feeling.
Yeah, so it's working out, but looking into Michigan State, this has been a program this year that's been not the best. They lost a lot of guys through the transfer portal, and probably a lot of reason for the contributions to that were, you know, the things that were going on with Mel Tucker. You know, he later got fired in the middle of Michigan State season. Michigan State is 4-7. They've won two out of their last three, so they are trending a little bit up compared to what they've been in earlier in the season, where they really were struggling. So what are some players on Michigan State's team that you're concerned about, and how do you think Penn State is going to match up with the Spartans?
Yeah, so I would say really the biggest name on the Spartans team that I'm looking at is Nathan Carter, the running back. He looks to be having a pretty good season so far, somewhere in the area of 750 yards on the ground this season. Penn State hasn't always been top notch in defending the run, so I think they'll be, you know, looking to make this one-dimensional of a game, very similar to what we saw against Rutgers. Michigan State has kind of cycled through a couple of different quarterbacks this season, so it hasn't really been one guy. There's been like two or three quarterbacks they've been working with. So I think Penn State is going to look to kind of leverage that relative inexperience at whoever is going to be playing quarterback for Michigan State. I'll be honest, I'm not like totally plugged into their situation, so I can't really speak on it too eloquently, but you know, I think they're going to be looking to kind of make this Michigan State offense, you know, pretty one-dimensional, make them beat Penn State with his arm, not really let the big run get by them with Nathan Carter, and just kind of pin their ears back, get after the quarterback, maybe first force a couple of turnovers that way. And, you know, I think that really is kind of the main key to success, because anytime that Michigan State has come up against a half decent defense this season, they've really struggled. They, you know, didn't put up any points against Michigan. They barely put up any points against Ohio State. I think that Penn State defensively matches up pretty evenly, like with both those teams. Like Penn State has a very good defense along with those two other teams. They also lost against, you know, half decent defense in Minnesota. So there's other defenses out there like where you can kind of point to this being a trend. But on defense as well, you know, I like Penn State is, they're in a bit of flux themselves right now offensively, obviously. Like no offensive coordinator, we got interims in here, we got Bo the backup, we don't know for sure what that situation is going to be yet. We're actually recording this before Franklin's press conference on Monday. My guess is that we're probably going to hear, yeah, it's going to be like a day-by-day thing, but we're preparing like for Bo, you know, like both these guys are like preparing to be the start. You know how Franklin talks like mm-hmm. in these things. I'm expecting kind of more of that, but I think, you know, realistically, we're probably looking at Bo Perbiola starting this game because of that injury sustained to Drew's throwing shoulder. That was like the big thing for me. So, you know, offensively, I think we're going to see a lot of running the quarterback, you know, a lot of option, which is fine, because at this point, I think that's really the kind of the thing that Penn State can marginally do successfully offensively, you know, on a more consistent basis. Cause yeah, that downfield passing attack is like non-existent. I'd be really surprised to see Penn State take a lot of shots downfield with Bo. I think we're going to see a lot of stuff underneath, probably see a lot of the tight ends involved. I think we'll see a healthy dose of the T. I know you love your T formation.
The wing T. Yeah. Oh, we forgot to brag about that in our last pod, that we got both got our wing T touchdown prediction.
I know. It was crazy. Like, I mean, how often do we both hit on it? It really rarely happens like that.
Yeah, rarely. But we kind of picked the same one. Yours was just like more specific.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, hey, we intersected at one point with our thoughts. So you can't fault us for that. But yeah, so I think though, you know, Penn State's not going to put up like a ton of points in this one, but I think they'll put up, you know, plenty enough to win this. I mean, Penn State's favored right now. I saw the line was at like 20. So yeah, it's like, you know, Penn State just man to man, like should win this game at an arm's length against Michigan State. I think the fact that they're playing at Ford Field actually helps Penn State because of the reasons that you pointed out in our last podcast. Like, crazy things happen at East Lansing. They have happened against Penn State in that stadium. So just get away from that voodoo magic. Like, just go to the comfy confines of a neutral field. And I think it'll be cool for the players. So yeah, like I said, I'm not overly concerned with this Michigan State offense as they match up against Penn State's defense, because I know what I'm getting in Penn State's defense. I just think that it'll be interesting to see how the Spartans respond defensively to what's probably going to be like a, you know, just a rushing attack by both running backs and the quarterback, probably all at the same time.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with a lot of things. I do have a lot of confidence in the defense to do what they need to do. It'll obviously be a little bit more of a challenge since you don't have those, you know, external weather factors for the offense to deal with, but that's going to be the same both ways. So hopefully that helps our offense and really keep them rolling. I think the guys are going to be really excited for this one, and I'm excited for the guys too, because when you're an NCAA athlete, the grind of a sports season definitely does wear on you. And the fact that this almost feels like a Nationals trip to me since they're going to Ford Field. So I'm assuming that the players will get to watch the Lions on Thanksgiving Day and they'll have like a nice dinner and practice and, you know, film study, but you know, they'll get to probably go to the game. That'll be a lot of fun for them and get to see that, you know, checking NFL Stadium off their list. And I think they're going to be inspired to play really well because you're going to have at least two NFL teams who have their scouting departments there checking you out. So this is a really good opportunity for guys like Olufoshinu to, you know, really shine out and show NFL teams why they should be selected high in the draft in April. So I think, you know, the team is going to be really excited and I'm really looking forward to this matchup. Very happy it's not a noon game. Get a nice Friday night under the lights and it'll be a great time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's really what is kind of the overall theme of this game. Like it's something different, but it should be fun. Like, you know, they're going indoors, nice professional stadium. So big, you know, big time environment that they're going into. These are probably going to be like, well, I mean, like granted, you know, NCAA locker rooms have definitely improved like in the past 10 years, but like pro locker rooms are pretty legit. So they'll be able to experience all that. Just, you know, won't have to deal with the cold and it'll just be fun. And all their families are probably going to come out there. They're probably celebrating Thanksgiving with them. I would probably imagine like with them, like at the team hotel or something like that, maybe. So I don't know. It'll just be like a different, but kind of a neat experience, I would imagine. I mean, I'm speculating the hell out of this because I'm a fan who's going to be watching it on TV, but yeah.
Yeah. And I can tell you this, like, it's so nice to get in some nice weather and just avoid the rough weather we have in the Northeast. Once you hit November, it starts to get pretty cold. It can be wet, windy. So it's nice to get away from that. I've definitely had some cross-country meets and like freezing rain. I'm like, oh gosh, that sucked. Like, I'm glad I did it, but I hope I don't have to do it again. So yeah it'll be nice to have that type of environment. And I think the game's actually going to be really fun too, because if, you know, you're Penn State, you're like, yeah, whatever, it's the Lions, but you know, the Lions are a good team this year. So I think that'll be a fun game for them to watch, you know, the day before their game.
And there's some guys on the team who are from Michigan, like the King Twins. They're like from the, like near the Detroit area. So they're going to be playing like probably in their favorite NFL team growing up stadium. So that's not a small deal.
Yeah, definitely a big deal for the King Twins. I think they'll show up and have a really nice day. But who are some players you think could really shine for Penn State individually?
Oh, God. Man, that's a loaded question right now. Yeah, if we're looking defensively, Chop as always, Adisa, Abdul, final game of the season, Curtis Jacobs. I mean, this is probably going to be his, well, I mean, it's not the final game because we still have the bowl game, but his final regular season game with the Nittany Lions. Got KJ, who's balling out recently. Kalen and Johnny, I think this might be both of their final game. I don't know how much eligibility Johnny still has left, but this is probably Kalen's last regular season game. Offensively, I'm really just give me consistency. But I want, yeah, I'm kind of looking for running backs. I mean, Katron has been really running the ball well when he's been given the chance recently. So I want him to get plenty of touches. I want to get Nick, you know, I want to get
space.
Him rolling.
Get too. Him in space.
Yeah, just something, because I honestly feel bad for him at times because he just is trying to like bowl through these people because he's not getting a lane. And I don't know, you probably didn't see this because you were in the stadium, but on that touchdown where Bo fumbled the ball and then just ran it in himself because that was the most viable play after the fumbled snap, Bo ran it in. Nick didn't even go and celebrate with them. He just kind of like punched his hand and it was like, damn it. Like that was supposed to be mine because that was how the play was designed to run. They were running left or right and Katron and the tight end were the lead blockers and Nick was supposed to get that ball and Nick was supposed to score. So that was supposed to be his touchdown. So I want to do right by him, give him his touches, give him his touchdown. And I want to see him in the end zone.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. Another thing I'd love to see is involvement from the tight ends, whether it's wing T or through the air.
Always, yeah.
Give me some three tight end sets. I love it. I just want to really out-physical this Michigan State team. I want it to be like old school football. Receivers, I don't think they're going to get any better. Last week, they sure didn't. Not a really good performance. I would anticipate Bo is going to be out there. Drew, he's a tough guy, so I don't think he would just be coming out of the game if it wasn't a super serious injury. Now, I think there's a good chance he's probably back for the bowl game. I think like a month will probably be enough time to recover, but I don't expect to see him just a 6-day turnaround. I think that injury, especially with throwing shoulders, going to take a while to heal. So, but you never know. Sometimes they'll, you know, give athletes a cortisone shot, and then that helps them deal with the pain and they just kind of move through it. That's always a possibility. But yeah, for Bo, he's starting. I'm just looking for him to manage the game. I'll run the ball hard. Who knows? It might even make it easier for Nick to run the ball with Bo back there. So
could be, yeah.
Could be a possibility. Take the shots if they're there, because I think Michigan State's going to play aggressively and try to make you beat them over the top.
Yep.
So if there's a shot there, take it. But if it's not there, you know, manage the game, understand that you got one of the best defenses in the country, and let the defense set you up and win that field position game.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. It just like, they're going to try and make Penn State's offense be one dimensional as well. They're going to dare the quarterback to beat them with his arm. You just got to be good enough and physical enough in the run game to not let that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. You want to get some over-unders?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
All right. So right now our spread's at 20. Do you think Penn State's going to cover the spread this weekend?
I do not. I think we are going to come up just short with this spread. However, I said the same thing last week, and Vegas, they've got to have some kind of information that the rest of the world doesn't, because they freaking nailed the spread with Penn State Rutgers. So I'm saying that Penn State's not going to cover it this time around, but who knows?
Yeah, it looks like my pessimism is rubbing off on you, Andrew. I finally cracked you week 13 into the season.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll be back on my bullshit the start of next season. Don't you worry.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to cover it. It's actually kind of funny, because for Penn State's basketball game on Tuesday against St. Francis, they had the spread at 30, and Penn State won by exactly 30.
Wow.
So that one was dead on. I don't know what they do with the sports bet if they don't have like a half a point. Like, I don't know what they do. Like, everyone just gets their money back if it's like right on.
I don't know, to be honest. I'm not really into betting. I haven't.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. 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 I don't have the money to do it. So, but anyway,
that's fair. Yeah.
Moving on. So in terms of total points, do you think Penn State will get over 30 points?
Yes, I do. Yeah. They'll get over it.
I don't think so. Not so fast. I'm going to take the under. All right. Over under 10.5 points for Michigan State.
Over, but not by a lot.
I'm actually going to take the under here. Nice. I think our defense is going to do a nice job. You look at Rutgers, they held them to 6 points. You look at holding Michigan to really 17 most of the game. There was a garbage time one at the end where they were just like, so they kind of gave up. So, you know, they had that, and then Ohio State, they held them to 20. So I'm feeling pretty good about the defense. So they've been, outside of that Indiana game, that was kind of fluky, but
it was.
They've really held all their opponents to, like, you know, outside of Michigan and Ohio State, they've held them to 15 points or less. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, in terms of rushing yards, do you think Penn State can get 200 rushing yards?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, they rushed for something like 230 something against Rutgers. So, throwing a running quarterback, and the fact that Penn State's offensive game plan is probably going to be run, 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 maybe pass, run, 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 and then run some more. Now they're going to get over that.
Yeah. I think they're going to be implementing that Chad Powers think fast, run fast offense.
Yeah. I mean, they saw some rumors. Chad Powers is going to be the next offensive coordinator.
Next offensive coordinator. So we'll run that think fast, run fast offense and, you know, get a lot of rushing yards. So
why not?
Give me the over there. All right. Passing yards for Penn State, over or under 200 passing yards.
Under. Oh, God. Solid under. Yeah. No way. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me the under. Just nothing's been going right. There's just been so much regression throughout the course of the season. Like, it's crazy to think that week one, Drew had over 300 yards against West Virginia, and like, now we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I expected him to get better throughout the season. I expected the offense to get better, run more efficiently, be better at communicating, just being in a better rhythm overall, you know, wide receivers. So kind of a perplexing. And I remember I debated about making my first communion prediction that Drew's going to have over 300 passing yards, thinking that would be pretty lofty. And he did it his first game. And hasn't really done it since, which is kind of crazy. So I don't know if teams are figuring him out or what, but yeah, we definitely have a long way to go in terms of the passing game.
Yeah. Yeah. You could say that again.
All right. Over under 200 passing yards for Michigan State.
Under. They're going to try and run the ball. They're not going to be able to pass too much against Penn State's defense. I mean, like, how many passing yards did Wimsett have? I mean, they're definitely not going to eclipse like what Wimsett was able to do against Penn State. That even wasn't a lot.
Yeah. It depends on the game. It's tough to predict what Michigan State will do. Some games they run the ball. Some games they throw it 25 times. Sometimes they throw it over 40 attempts. So it's kind of tough to predict what they will do. I think Penn State is just going to, you know, give them 2 yards a play and make the tackle and just stay in their gaps. I think they're going to be playing very conservatively, especially Bose at quarterback. So yeah, I'll say under in terms of 200 passing yards. All right. Over under 100 rushing yards for the Spartans.
I'll say over. I think they'll get over as a team, not by a lot, but over.
You know what? I'm going to take the under here. I've underestimated the defense too many times. Give me under 100 rushing yards for the Spartans.
Cool.
All right. Turnovers. Big. Penn State's still first in the nation at plus 17. So do you have over or under 2.5 turnovers forced by the Penn State defense?
Under. I'm looking at 2.
I'm going to go over. I'm seeing at least 3.
All right.
I think, yeah,
that's a Michigan, hell of a game.
Michigan State's been turnover prone this year at times. You know, I think they might actually try to force them to throw potentially. I know that we're trying to make them conservative, but I could also see Penn State trying to just shut them down like they did with Maryland, and then just try to make him pass. Because if they can shut down the run game, like, Taulia Tagovailoa is way better than Hauser.
That's true. Yeah,
so that's true. They can force them into those situations. That can allow your pass rush to feast and turnovers to be created. All right. Over, under 1.5 turnovers for Penn State.
Under. They've been protecting the ball season, so I'm not really expecting that to change in the final game of the regular season.
Sounds good to me. I got the under as well. All right, let's move on to pass rush. How many sacks do you think Penn State is able to get on Friday? Over or under 3.5?
Over. I like this. This pass rush right now is balling. Chop is playing like a man possessed. So I'm looking at least 4.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over as well. I think you might see them trying to stop the run and really force, you know, Michigan State to kind of play like Maryland did and kind of force them to pass. So yeah, give me over 4 sacks. All right. How does our offensive line do? Over or under 1.5 sacks?
I'll say under just because I don't think we're going to be back there passing the ball a whole lot. So, and you know, the couple times that we do, like, this offensive line is like half decent in pass protection. So I'll take the under.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under as well. Can't get sacked if you don't throw the ball.
That's right.
Think about it. All right. So, fact or fiction, Ford Field is going to get rid of the Black Magic from East Lansing. It's just not going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, you can't like just transfer or just transplant that magic, that chaos energy from one stadium to another just because you have the same team. So, yeah, it's fact.
All right, I like it. Fact or fiction, Penn State will not give up a point in the third quarter.
Fact. Yeah, defense is balling. Fact.
Yeah, give me fact. They've given up 3 points all year to Michigan, a third quarter. So
that's wild.
That's a wild stat.
Yeah.
It's still hard to believe that we lost two games without giving up a point in like the third quarter.
Yeah, like literally for 25% of each game that they've played, they have almost guaranteed not a single point, and they still could not get over that hump. Like that is wild.
It is. Yeah, it's just baffling. All right, fact or fiction, the offense will have a turnover free day.
I'll say fact. Yeah, they've been very good all season long. Really, I mean, the only couple times that they've like turned the ball over has been, you know, like Nick fumbled the ball once and Drew got popped on that one draw against Michigan, turned the ball over. But, you know, for the most part, they don't really put the ball in harm's way. They don't put themselves in situations where they can put the ball on the ground and stuff like that. So I'll say fact.
I'm going to say fiction. I see one. There's got to be a little bit of that Michigan State voodoo still there. So okay. I see one turnover.
All right.
Yeah. Fact or fiction, the land grant trophy is the best trophy in college football.
Fact. It's basically the eighth wonder of the world.
It is. It's amazing. It's like this giant piece of wood. You got a big Nittany Lion statue. You got a big Spartan statue. It is awesome. And I think that's something we forgot to mention earlier in the show. We forgot to mention, you know, that motivating factor for the players. We've just been talking about Ford Field and, you know, Thanksgiving and seeing the Lions.
It's a rivalry game.
The Pro Lions. Yeah, this is a rivalry game for us. You know, apparently we're unrivaled and don't have any protected matchups, but
yeah, boy.
But yeah, this is a big one because we certainly don't play Michigan State next year. So that means you get to keep that trophy at least another year.
Yeah.
When's the next time we play Michigan State? When do we play them again?
I don't even know.
We'll have to maybe check the schedule. I know we don't play them next year, and I feel like I don't recall seeing them on the schedule really. So
yeah, I don't remember, to be honest. Yeah.
So this is a big deal. You get to keep that trophy a lot longer if you win it. So
yeah.
Lions got to be locked in. All right. So what are some other football games you're looking to watch this weekend? A lot of good rivalry games going on, including Michigan and Ohio State. The game that's going to be on Big Noon Kickoff. You know, sorry, everybody. It's nice that it's not us, but it does kind of stink again that once again, the biggest game of the week is on the Big Noon Kickoff.
Yeah, I think that's obviously the one that everybody's going to be watching the most, but you also got Oregon State. I think that'll be a really good one because Oregon State is going to be looking to finish their season strong after losing against Washington. I think they're probably also going to have some motivation about them to kind of play spoiler for Oregon because Oregon is definitely also in the hunt for a college football playoff spot, but they know that they got to win their remaining games. So they can't afford to lose one against Oregon State in the last game of the season. So, you know, Oregon State can potentially play spoiler for them. Other than that, we have got, let's see here, Alabama-Auburn. That's always good. Auburn, I mean, hilariously, just got smacked by New Mexico State. They paid them nearly $2 million to come to Jordan-Hare Stadium, and they got wrecked by New Mexico State. So they're kind of standing there with their pants down, you know, like a little bit, just kind of walking around in their underwear, just like being shamed by the college football world. So they need to finish strong. And so what better way than to give Alabama all you got?
And that's wild, because like, I know it's like the end of the world here if we lose to Michigan or Ohio State, and they're like top five teams in the country. Like, can you imagine like how pissed their fan base is to be losing to New Mexico State?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, for real. Like, we'd actually be saying that we need to fire Franklin if that happened. Like, let's be real.
Yeah. I think even we'd be saying that on the pod for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got. Arizona State. I honestly think Arizona's probably going to win that.
Oh, they're going to steamroll them.
We got Washington State and Washington. I think that's actually pretty intriguing, because right now Washington State is not ranked. However, new rankings will come out, I believe, on Tuesday, as they usually do. I don't know if the holiday affects that at all, but Washington State just laid the hammer to Colorado, put up an astronomical number of points. Washington is coming off of, you know, a tough fought win over Oregon State. They're also, you know, right there for a college football playoff spot. So they know that they need to finish the season strong. So similar to Oregon State, potential for a spoiler here, but we'll see.
And Washington State also fighting for bowl eligibility at 5-6.
Also that. Yep. We have got Florida State and Florida. So the situation with Florida State, that is wild, you know, really horrific injury for Jordan Travis. I mean, you hate to see like a guy like him who's just been in college football for so long and has fought through so many tough seasons to have his career, I believe, ended like that, because I don't think he has any more eligibility. But
yeah, his foot was like pointing the wrong way. That looked pretty nasty.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine what kind of pain he was in for that, because it, I mean, also kind of looked like his knee wasn't really like bending the right way either. So, you know, just terrible thing for them. I'm not one of those guys who like thinks that, you know, their record or their ranking should take a hit just because like a single guy got hurt. You know, they're still the team, and the team is the team. I'm curious to see how the committee feels about that. I mean, granted, like, this kind of torpedoes, you know, their chances for competing for a national championship, I feel, because like their strength has really just kind of been like being able to overcome with the offense, like when they've had to. Mm-hmm. Now that you have your star quarterback who's not going to be able to continue the season, like, you just don't have the firepower anymore. So
yeah, I think you might see Washington hop them in the poll, and I don't think that's unfair. I think Washington should have been ahead of them in the first place, not just because of the injury. I think they should have been ahead because they're better. Michael Penix Jr. and that team is just rolling, and man, I just wish we could have a passing game like that. Like, I know the receivers dropped a lot of passes, but they were open, and Penix's passes were just like right in the hands every single time. And yep. You know, if it wasn't wet, like, they would have caught a lot more. So
that's true.
I'm just like, man, like, why can't our offense just operate as smoothly and as efficiently as that? Like,
or even just like a percentage, a fraction of how smoothly and efficiently they run. Like,
yeah,
give me 50% of that.
Exactly. Like,
yeah.
But hey, that's why they're undefeated. Yep. So some other rivalry games you got Tennessee Vandy. That's always a good one. Battle for Tennessee. You got, you know, the battle for Kentucky. You got Kentucky and Louisville. That'll be a good one. Iowa, Nebraska, big one in the Big Ten West. You got Iowa rivalry
game. Big Ten West champion, baby.
They're looking to be 10-2. Big Ten West champion, but Nebraska.
Incredible.
Fighting for bowl eligibility, 5-6. You don't underestimate those teams.
That's right.
Then we got the Egg Bowl down in Mississippi. That's played on Thanksgiving Day. I'll probably be checking that out because my family will be doing Thanksgiving on Wednesday. But you got 13 Ole Miss trying to contend for a New Year's Six Bowl. And then you got Mississippi State, 5-6, fighting for that bowl eligibility. And they're at home. So another big factor, just like Florida being home against Florida State in the Swamp. You know, that could play a role in the game. You got Texas A&M at LSU. They're, you know, 7-4, 8-3. Colorado heading over to Utah. I think Utah's going to want to end their season good note. So I expect them to really beat up on Colorado. And yeah, I think we covered most of the games. Georgia Tech, you got North Carolina, NC State, both teams 8-3. So could be a good one as well. So a lot of good football going on. Moving on to other games in the Big Ten. We got Indiana at Purdue. That'll be good as always. Maryland at Rutgers. You got Northwestern at Illinois in the land of Lincoln. And then Wisconsin 6-5 at 5-6 Minnesota in the battle for Paul Bunyan's axe. So that'll be a lot of good games in the Big Ten. Like everyone has their really lined it up well this year. It seems like everyone has their biggest rival. So nice job by the Big Ten scheduling committee.
Very good. So do you want to swing back to Rutgers real quick and do our predictions?
Yeah, let's do our communion predictions for Michigan State. I got a good one.
Yeah, for Rutgers, for Michigan State. Yeah. All right, hit me with your communion prediction.
For my communion prediction, I predict that both King brothers are going to force a turnover.
Oh, nice. All right. Both interceptions?
Yeah, I'll say both interceptions.
Cool. That'd be a hell of a homecoming.
That would. I'm swinging for the fences this week.
You know what? It's the final game of the regular season. You might as well. All right, cool. Yeah, so my communion prediction is that we are going to see a defensive touchdown. We haven't seen it yet this season. There's one game left of this regular season. So I'm stamping it down now. This is the game where it's going to happen. We're looking at a pick six.
Yeah, hopefully it turns out a little better than that Indiana game. You predicted the strip six, scoop and score.
Oh, and, yeah, you're right.
And
yeah.
Then, like, there's like five guys diving on it, and like their guy batted it out of the back of the end zone for a safety.
Yep, carnival of folly if I ever saw one. But
I'm just whatever. Like, it was just so funny watching your communion prediction just like slow motion just go away.
Yep, it sure did. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, but hey, win's a win.
That's right.
So, final score in this game. What do you got for us?
Yep. So I got Penn State winning this one 31-13. I don't think that Penn State's going to cover the spread, but I think they're going to be able to do enough offensively to move the ball at times, even if they are going to be just like 99% of the time going to be running the ball. I think that Penn State has the horses to make that type of offense run, especially if they're going to be doing some shifty things like with the option, and you can even dump it off to the tight end who can do some stuff after the catch. So I think the Penn State defensively matches up really well with this team, just like I do with pretty much any other team in the Big Ten. I think they're going to limit the number of times, you know, Michigan State is going to be able to score with the football. So I'm looking at a comfortable win here, but not quite covering the spread.
Yeah. Well, don't forget Keandre Lambert-Smith and Trey Potts can also throw.
Oh, yeah, because that's what I want. I just, yeah, instead of like reliable, like, you know, milquetoast offense, give me all the gadget plays. Why not?
The gadget plays. Well, we've had some success with them. They haven't all worked out, but I feel like with the exception of Ohio State, when we run those gadget plays, they seem to work pretty well.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes. Or like they're at least close to working.
And that's really what football games are all about, right? Just things almost working.
Right. So, hey, it's the last one. You got to have a little fun last
week. I mean, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Let's see a throw from Trey Potts.
Yeah. All right. For my final score prediction, I got Penn State. I think they'll keep Michigan State at arm's length. So final score, I got 24-10, Penn State over the Spartans.
Cool. All right. So you're looking at pretty low offensive output from the Spartans as well.
Yeah. Our defense is really good, and I think they're going to continue to be good. So 10 points might even be a little high. They held Rutgers to 6. So
that's true.
We'll see. Yeah. But a lot of other Penn State events going on this week. Women's basketball has 3 games. They got a couple games down in the Bahamas. So on Monday, we play in Oklahoma State. And on Wednesday, they will be playing number 10 USC. So that'll be a nice test for our undefeated Lady Lions. On the 26th on Sunday, they'll be hosting Providence at the BJC. So that'll be a good one as well. Other events going on, wrestling, big time all-star matchup coming up. So they got the NWCA All-Star Classic. Have you ever been to that wrestling event, Andrew?
I have not, no, but sounds awesome. Like just from the name.
Yeah, so I'm excited to go. So pretty much what they do is they select the top two wrestlers at each weight class in the country, or like top two or three, depending if they accept the invitation or not. And they're all coming to Rec Hall. So I'm like super stoked to go to this wrestling match. It'll be my second one ever going in person. So Penn State has six guys in 10 of the weight classes. So, you know, definitely for the most part, it'll be fun to, you know, have a Penn State guy to root for. And also it's going to be fun because it's not like I'm like, okay, this guy's totally just going to dominate. Like they're going against the next best guy in the country. So that'll be fun to watch. Looking forward to that one. Women's volleyball has a few games this week. So on Wednesday, they'll be playing at College Park down in Maryland, taking on the Terrapins. And on Friday, they'll be taking on the Buckeyes in Columbus at 7:00. Also this weekend, there's going to be men's hockey at home versus Lindenwood Friday and Saturday, both at 4:00. And then the Lady Lions are, you know, taking an ice hockey trip up north to Dartmouth. They have a series Friday and Saturday as well. So a lot of good sports this weekend. You also got men's basketball in the ESPN Events Invitational. They're taking on number 13, Texas A&M on Friday. Black Friday, they'll be taking on either number 10 FAU or Butler. And then on Sunday, they'll have another opponent as well. So really big weekend in terms of athletics. Women's soccer has advanced to the Elite Eight in the NCAA tournament. They'll be taking on the Clemson Tigers at Clemson at 1:00. So a lot of fun events to watch. So if you're at home enjoying Thanksgiving dinner with your family throughout the week and you're done finishing your meal and you want to throw something on the TV, definitely a lot of good stuff to put on. So
yeah,
hope you guys all enjoy this time with your friends and your family. Great time for football, just a time to be thankful. So we'll finish it up with this, Andrew, before we put a bow on it. Andrew, what's something you're thankful for this year with Penn State football or in general?
I'll do both. So I am thankful for our community. I think that this year has really, you know, despite some of the frustrations that have been expressed by our fan base, I think this year really kind of showed what this fan base can do as far as like in stadium support. We're talking about near record setting attendances for a lot of these games, and for many of these games they were noon games. Like we're talking about the second highest attended football game in Beaver Stadium history against Michigan, and it was a noon game. Like that is not insignificant. So I'm thankful for the fact that, you know, every year Penn State fans are asked to come and fill the stadium, be loud, provide the energy and stuff like that, and they do that. So I think it's a special group to be a part of, and it's a fun one to be a part of. You could just feel the camaraderie, the sense of community, and the friendliness that exists out there, especially, you know, in the tailgating lots and everything like that. So that's what I'm thankful for. And yeah, as far as like, you know, on a personal note, I'm thankful for my wonderful fiance. We're going to be getting married in, you know, the summer of 2024. Obviously you're going to be a big part of it too, Vince.
Yep.
So it's going to be here before we know it. It's, you know, all the planning is swiftly moving ahead. So we're just looking forward to celebrating with all of our friends and loved ones.
Yeah, that's great. I'm thankful for a lot of things too. So, you know, the health of myself and my friends and family, that's obviously first and foremost, very important. Really happy for the community we have here at the Nittany Blues podcast, all of our fans. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, like you said, with the fan base, that Michigan game at noon, that was a wild environment. That felt like a night game in terms of the energy. Obviously the result wasn't there, but you know, thankful we have a great fan base with a lot of energy, and it's called Happy Valley for a reason. Like the tailgate lots are such a great time. Everybody's happy, having a good time before the game, and really excited and passionate about Penn State football and really, really all the sports, like basketball, first week of the season. That was the most packed I've seen it for out of conference opponents. So that was really exciting. We sold out versus Nebraska for women's volleyball. That was awesome. Fun to be part of that environment. Looking forward to wrestling. And just blessed to live in Happy Valley, man. Like, State College, it's a vibe. Like, I think there's, like, some Penn State alumni who don't want to move back after they graduate. But, man, like, I can't imagine being anywhere else. Like, it's just a good vibe, good things to do in the community. So, and lots of fun sports. So, awesome. Definitely a good place to be. And, you know, I'm thankful that – also thankful that Penn State has beat everybody that they should have beat this year. So yeah. At least there wasn't like any 9 overtime like Illinois games like a few years ago. So yep. Definitely thankful to this point in the season, we haven't had any of those stumbles. So if they beat Michigan State and win their bowl game, I think Penn State can overall mark this off as a successful season.
Agreed.
Yep. So any final thoughts before you want to get out of here and put a bow on it?
No, man, I think we've said all that needs to be said. Looking forward to one final matchup for this regular season. It's kind of hard to believe that. I mean, it feels like yesterday we were talking about, you know, 2023 season predictions and stuff like that. And here we are near the tail end of another football season. They go by quicker every year. It's been a blast. I'm excited for this final edition of the regular season. And I hope all of you out there are too. But yeah, housekeeping stuff. Check out our website, nittanyblues.com. You can listen to all of our previous episodes there, learn a little bit more about the show. Go and check out our merch at shop.nittanyblues.com. We have some pretty cool and unique designs that we pretty much guarantee you'll find nowhere else to add to your Penn State fan wardrobe. We're also going to be running a promotion on there for Black Friday. We're going to hop on the train with all the other online retailers out there. We're going to, you know, put out our Black Friday savings here. So go and check that out. All the details will be on the website so you can learn how to get a percentage off your order for Black Friday and the week beyond. So again, that's at shop.nittanyblues.com. But other than that, Vince, bring us home.
Yeah. Thank you guys for always as listening. And we want to remind you that we are
the Nittany Blues Podcast. We'll see you next time.